It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Time for our state news roundup. Lots of headlines in the race for governor. New news guy Noah Ovshinsky is back with us. Noah, welcome back.
It's good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Well, a lot of political news heating up, a little bit here, a little bit there, and some news out today about the Mary Burke campaign. What's going on?
Yeah, so some big news. In fact, this just broke, in the last 24 hours. Apparently, portions of Mary Burke's jobs plan, which she released several months ago, were taken word for word, essentially, from the campaigns of three other out-of-state Democrats who have run in the past few years.
So since this broke, I imagine the other side, the Walker campaign, is all over that?
Yeah, the Walker campaign really jumped on the news, which was first reported by BuzzFeed last night. Campaign officials told the Journal Sentinel it was a sad day for Wisconsin because the Democratic nominee misled voters. They went on to say today that it proves Burke can't be trusted to lead the state.
And have we heard from the Burke campaign itself at this point?
Yeah, so the Burke campaign, unsurprisingly, is downplaying the whole episode. She told the Journal Sentinel that it was a, quote, relatively minor mistake, and that the Walker campaign's reaction was really meant to distract voters from the latest job numbers. We'll talk about those, actually, in a few minutes. But long story short, they put Wisconsin 33rd in the nation for private sector job growth.
So I guess a question here, are we talking about plagiarism? How has the Burke campaign answered that question?
Right. So her spokesperson also reiterated today to the Journal Sentinel, that this is not a case of plagiarism, although parts of the job plan did appear in previous job plans around the country. This was not a case of plagiarism, as some have suggested, namely the Walker campaign, because the spokesperson argues that while sections had appeared in previous campaigns, it all came from the same person. It was all written by the same person.
The same person.
Right. So the Burke campaign is blaming really a consultant that they hired, blaming this whole episode on this person, because this same consultant, while working for the Burke campaign, had previously worked on campaigns where portions of those jobs plans were taken from, essentially.
So this person, in effect, we're speculating here, but cribbed his or her own work that they had done elsewhere instead of lifting somebody else's work, I guess.
Exactly.
Would be the argument.
Exactly. And included it in this latest jobs plan or parts of the jobs plan put forward by the Burke campaign.
Hopefully they crossed off other states' names and put Wisconsin.
One would hope.
Okay. And is this consultant still with this campaign?
No. The Burke campaign says they have terminated their relationship with the consultant.
All right, well, we'll watch and see if this is a momentary flare-up or something with legs.
Yeah, we'll see. It's a tight race.
Yeah, definitely. Well, and another thing that people have been anticipating in this tight race, the latest batch of job numbers. And these are the biggies, right?
Right. This is what we've come to call the gold standard jobs numbers. And this will be the last batch that will be released before the election in November. And really what they show is job growth from March of last year to the March of this year.
Okay. So both sides arguing over how the governor's job performance has been. What do we see in these numbers?
Right. I mean, job performance is a big part of these campaigns. Mm-hmm. According to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, private sector jobs grew by about 1.3%, and that's less than the nation as a whole, which had job growth of 2.1%.
So how do we compare state to state?
Yeah, so as I mentioned a few minutes ago, this puts us 33rd in the nation for private sector job growth.
And then we've seen dueling ads from the campaigns. We rank, depending on how you look at it, third among Midwestern states, last among Midwestern states. With these numbers, where do we fall?
Right. Well, according to these latest numbers, when you compare us to our other Midwestern neighbors, Wisconsin finished behind all but Illinois and Minnesota.
All right. So not to throw out too many numbers, but new poll numbers out this week showing the race is neck and neck. Campaigns are watching these numbers like a lot of people watch their fantasy football results. What are we hearing from the campaigns about these new job numbers?
Right. So the timing is key here, given that we're just, a matter of weeks away from this election. The Burke campaign has used, these jobs numbers to attack Governor Walker, as she had previous jobs reports. As we've talked about a lot, the governor during his first campaign promised to create 250,000 new jobs in his first term. These latest numbers show the state would have created around 102,000 jobs under his watch.
And then Governor Walker's take on the report.
So Walker argues that the state is going in the right direction. I mean, he acknowledges that at least during his first term, they're not going to make that goal, but that the state is headed in the right direction. During an appearance yesterday, he cited state jobs numbers that show the unemployment rate dropped from 5.8% in July to 5.6% last month. And just for a bit of perspective, that is below the national average of 6.1%.
All right. Now, somebody should, you know, I joked about it. Somebody should take fantasy football and do it with, you know, state economic numbers, job numbers, GDP, all that stuff. I think there's a game in there.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Although, you know, my fantasy team isn't doing so well, so okay. I wouldn't go to me for those kinds of things.
Well, as news people, I don't think we could play.
That's true.
Really. Well, all right. Moving on. One more piece of big election news this week. A lawsuit over what our ballot looks like.
Right, exactly. The state Republican Party here in Wisconsin has filed a lawsuit against the Government Accountability Board, which oversees elections in the state. And the party claims that the agency has developed really a confusing ballot that may, in fact, favor Democrats.
That's hard to talk layout and kerning and all that stuff on the radio. But what are Republicans objecting to as far as how this is laid out?
Right. So according to Republicans, what's wrong with the budget? Well, or the ballot, rather.
Yeah.
Well, the Republican Senate Majority Leader Scott Fitzgerald argues that because Democrats are listed first on the ballot and there is no sort of demarcation line between those candidates and the office they are seeking, it could lead a voter to think they are incumbents when they're not, or that there is only one candidate running for a particular office.
Okay. And so why are Democrats listed first on the ballot?
Under state law, they are listed first because their party won the presidential race in the last election. And that's sort of what determines who's first in these ballots.
Okay. So what's the remedy that Republicans are seeking here?
They want the JB, the GOP rather, wants the JB to stop using the ballots and have gone to court to force them to do so.
So it would involve new ballots, printing new ballots, it sounds like.
If they were to win in court, yes, that's true.
And so we heard from Kevin Kennedy earlier this week with the Government Accountability Board. Before this happened, though, what's been the response from GAB?
Right. Obviously, this has been a busy few weeks for the GAB, given the ruling with voter ID and now this. Agency officials say, you know, these kinds of complaints aren't unusual around election time, but, you know, have been quick to note that the idea that the ballots were somehow, you know, designed to favor one party over the other, they call it, and this is a direct quote, they call it absurd.
Okay. So would they be able to do it, though?
It's feasible. It's possible. But GAB officials say redesigning the ballot now would be expensive because, frankly, most of the ballots have already been printed.
And Governor Walker's names will be on those ballots. Has he joined this objection to them?
Yeah, it doesn't look like he's really going to weigh in on the specifics of the lawsuit. He said today he's, frankly, not getting involved with the lawsuit and said he'd, quote, leave that up to others, unquote.
Well, speaking of election-related lawsuits— and that's a segue that could go in a number of directions this election season. But let's take it to voter ID.
Yeah.
So we had news earlier this week or late last week on that, but it's still not quite done.
Right. So the plaintiffs who were rebuffed by an appeals court panel in their efforts to stop voter ID in Wisconsin have officially, and we expect this to happen, they officially asked the full court of appeals in Chicago to hear the case.
Right. So bring us up to date on what happened last week.
So last week, just a few hours after oral arguments, much to the surprise of you and me and many people in Wisconsin, a three-judge panel in Chicago allowed the reinstatement of voter ID in Wisconsin. And again, this ruling was, you know, literally hours.
Yeah, that was the surprising.
Yeah, that was the surprising. Yeah, yeah, not the result, but the fact that it happened just in a matter of hours. They allowed the reinstatement of voter ID in Wisconsin. The state elections agency has since announced they will, you know, it'll assume it will be in place for the November election and are making plans to make that happen. Even so, plaintiffs, including the ACLU, want the whole appeals court to hear the case.
Instead of just that three-judge panel.
Yeah, right, exactly. And obviously, you know, they hope to have a different outcome if more judges are involved in the case.
This happens a lot, that things are decided by a three-judge panel. Is it common for the whole appeals court to go back to it again then?
You know, courts rarely grant requests like this. I mean, it's not unprecedented, but it doesn't happen very often.
So even if they did take it too, there might be a matter of timing saying, okay, we're not going to do this before the election. We're going to let it ride as it is. And so there are a lot of question marks before this could happen.
Absolutely. And the state has until next week to submit their response to the request to have the whole court hear this case.
Okay. Well, who knows? Maybe they'll shake up yet another Friday afternoon for us. Noah, thanks for joining us.
It was good to be here. Thanks, Rob.
Noah Ovshinsky is WPR's assistant news director. Stick around. There's more to come here on Central Time on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.